Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Why don't you say the praise the Lord? It is a great honor and a pleasure to be here with the Reverend 18 years. Glory, isn't it? 16 years. I'm just being prophetic, brother. That's all. 16 years. It seems like yesterday that we came and were part of that amazing service. And I'm so grateful to be here to Pastor Armstrong, to all the ministers in all the right places, to First Lady Mary. How come she look better? And you look older. I don't. By the way, Melanie, I was going to be nicer, but you know. He mentioned he saw me riding, having this robe on. He said, "Is that my robe?" He said, "I thought I must be getting bigger than I thought." I said, You could have gone another way with that. You could have talked about the weight I lost, but instead, so I'm in a mood right now. I'm telling you right now, I was going to be nice. But he had to go that way. I am always grateful. I think that the joy of the Lord ought to be your strength. Amen? And if you can't smile in church, don't smile out of it, because this is where the joy of the Lord is, right here. Amen? And to this wonderful choir. It doesn't matter who's up here, praise God. Y'all can just flat out sing, can you? Amen? Glory to God. And we know why. Glory to God. She got an afro, y'all. It done come back. Amen. Glory to God. That Black Lives Matter. Oh, Lord. We are so grateful for what God is continuing to do. Amen. Glory to God. Sisters are free. They don't have to press. They can press if they want to. But you can do anything you want. You can braid. You can press. You can cut. You can do it. You free right now. Amen. Ain't one way no more. Praise God. We all have to be free in the Lord. I'm going to move quickly to the Word of God, and I want you to know that the Lord, as I begin to preach, it's been a preaching season, and it's been a preaching season and a traveling season. Before I was here, I was in Portland, Oregon, and then I come here. Praise God. And then the pastor and Reverend Melody, I'm trying to model, because he tried to tell me, why don't you meet me in Vancouver? I said, no, I'm not going to meet you in Vancouver. Why? Because I have a wife at home. And I don't want her to move. Praise God. I got to see her every once in a while. Amen. Every once in a while, you got to learn to say no sometimes. Every once in a while. I told you he could have gone another way. Every once in a while, you got to remember, praise God, that God calls you to travel, but not all the time. Amen. So I'm grateful, praise God. But this is a word that is for you in this season, praise God. And I just want to read a couple of passages of scripture. First, Jeremiah 31, 15. This is what the Lord says. You can rise and stand if you can. Praise God. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted. Then I also want you to turn in your New Testament to Luke 15, 11, verse 11 to 32, a well-worn scripture. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way out, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring of finger and sandals on his feet. But bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, is now alive again. He was lost and found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him, What's going on? Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. And he answered to his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitute and comes home, by the way, the prostitute line he just threw in, because there ain't nothing about the prostitute. He just threw that in. Don't even know if it's true. He prostitute too. You kill and fatted calf of him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Hence the subject, coming home to mama. I know you don't see her in there. Don't worry about it. And you're going to find coming home to mama. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you and we honor you. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And all things, God, do we give you praise. Holy Ghost, let your anointing come, that anointing that makes preaching easy, clarity of thought to one's mind, precision of expression to one's lips, that you may be glorified. Let no one leave here the same way we came. Holy Ghost, walk these aisles. Change lives, change perspective, change everything in us that needs to be changed. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, before they leave here, let them come crying, I yield unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may have a seat. I know it's a strange title, coming home to mama. You looked at the passage and you said, but mama's not here at all. And I don't understand. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. In fact, every single time you hear it listed in scripture, it's either dad, son, and that's the only reality. That is because the people who have looked at this text, maybe because they've been all male. Men have a tendency to see ourselves everywhere and see you nowhere. We have a tendency, and I know it's, and I'm going to say it, we have a little ego, a very little ego. It ain't true. We have a tendency to look at things and say, it's all about me. I know that's a surprise to you, sisters, that we think everything is all about us. And so when we looked at the scripture and we see it and we look at it, for a generation we have looked and said, look at that scripture telling folk about God. And then we preached that God. We've talked about that God. We've made God the Father. And we've decided that the Father that God is the Father that we are. Ah, y'all missed that. We have decided that we have created God in our own image rather than who God is. We have created God in the image of the Father, and the dominant Father has been the Father that is the one who is in control. When this entire text, when you have heard it in its context, is saying, I am not who you think I am. God is trying to say, I am not what you think I am. I am not the kind of person you think I am. In fact, the reason you don't come home is because you don't understand what kind of God I am. In fact, one of the problems that we have in the church, one of the reasons that folks come here and they smile at us and they come and then they leave again. They come on Christmas, they come on Easter, they come when it is time for the Alpha to show up, the time when it comes for the sorority to show up, and then they leave again because they said, that's not my God. Well, I got good news to you. Some of the God we preach may not be God either. It is the God that we like, not the God that is. The entire reality of why he tells a parable is to say something that you don't previously know. Ah, y'all missed that. You see, parables are not supposed to affirm what you know. It's supposed to teach you something different. And so everybody that's looked at this text, it looked like just the dad they thought he was. But when you look a little closer, there are some anomalies in the text. There are some things that ought not be, beginning with the son looking at the father saying, Give me what's mine. Now, I understand, I don't know about your father, but if I got up to my father and told him, I want your stuff, I get his hand, but I won't get his stuff. If I went to my father and say, Dad, you owe me, I owe you something. Negro, I don't even owe you life. I'm about to take that away from you. You come up in here trying to take my stuff after all I've lived for. Oh, you little ungrateful urchin. You know, that ain't probably your father. But my father, he wasn't giving out nothing until he died. And whatever he gave out, it was his choice, not my choice. He gave me an education, but he wasn't going to give me a job. You got to go get a job. He wasn't going to give me free rent all my whole life. He wasn't going to give me. He said, I'm going to give you what I got. And then you go on with you. And it is entirely in the Hebrew with understanding that in point of fact, this father owed his son nothing. In fact, the reality is he probably should have said, go on, boy, get on out of here. Or he could have said, yeah, I hear what you're having a bad day. If you want to have a good one, you just keep moving right now. Because this could be your last day, not just the bad. You understand the reality. But the first reality is that God loves you enough to let you mess up and still love you. He's not like your daddy. He has all power. He knows when you're messing up. He knows when everything is crazy. But God still loves you enough to even give you when you don't deserve. Should have been dead, but God loved me. I was crazy, but God loved me. I messed up with the wrong person, but God loved me. He ain't the daddy that tries to hurt you. He's the daddy that tries to lift you. If that's what you want, then go on with your bad stuff, but I'm still there. So the reality is he lets his son go. And when he lets his son go, then here's the part that everybody knows in the house. Every time I've read this text, I've always thought, where is mama? Have you ever thought about that? What was she doing? Man, let me tell you something about women. They have a different understanding of power. They don't have to speak to be heard. They don't have to mess up anything to make the house messed up. And you know what the word says? If mama ain't happy, the house ain't happy. So the little boy, and it was the youngest child, wasn't the oldest child. It was her baby boy that left home. And now, brothers, every brother in here will know this. You know how some things become your fault and even you had nothing to do with it? I had nothing to do with that. You better get that child back home. But he said he wanted to leave. I don't care. You better go fix this. Because I'm tired of this. Now some of you are looking saying, but that is just not what I see in the scripture. The reality is that women have always been in that role. Remember the first miracle of Jesus? I ain't going to do the water. What did his mother say? Get the water bottle. Don't worry about it. He going to do what I say do. He might be God and all that, but I'm his mama. Rachel reads for her children, what the word said, and she will not be consoled. Sisters, I got the good news for you. God hears you. And God will not just let you be unhappy. When you pray, God will hear you. We've talked about God hearing everybody else's prayer. But I stop by to say to every mother, keep praying for your daughter. Keep praying for your son. God hears you. And if you ain't happy, He ain't happy. He ain't gonna let you be so angry that you can't have peace in the household. In fact, one of the reasons that the church is the church, look around you. Who do we have, sisters? Now, I'll tell you right now, as long as sisters stay on their knees, we'll stay on our feet. Amen? We'll keep on doing what God tells us to do. And so, imagine, if you will, the next morning after the sun leaves, here comes breakfast time. Now, usually she places the breakfast before him. But when she's mad, she throw it up there. What's wrong, baby? You know what's wrong. The household is not right. It's completely messed up. And the Bible says, I always wondered the second thing in the text. Why was he outside waiting for the sun? Now, the men have always preached it that God was out there, that he was waiting. I'm telling you, every man in the room know what he was doing. He got up out of that house. Half the brothers you see rolling around here driving, they just getting out of the house. Understand that that's why it makes no sense for him to be sitting. Why ain't he working? I can't go home. And the Bible says that he sits there and he sees them a long way out. Now, you notice that I have not preached anything that was happening with the sun. And the reason I'm not preaching anything that's happening to the sun is going through the process. God is going to bring you back anyhow. The issue is what kind of household. The whole reason the son did not go back is because he thought the father would be mean at him. In fact, he knew that he had so much disrespect for the father that if he got home, he was worried about being killed. He thought he was disowned. Y'all don't get this. How can I make this plain? One of the reasons you don't come back to Jesus is when you figure out that you messed up so much, you say, how can they accept me anymore? You begin to understand, I've been a fool. And the last thing you want to do is declare to somebody, I've been a fool. The last thing you want to do is go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, I've messed up. In fact, a lot of folk have kept on doing mess because they're too embarrassed to admit mess. Because we preach the God that says he will judge you and not love you. I stopped by to tell you, God already knows. And while you're away, he's waiting for you. Because there's sisters on their knees right now. There's brothers on their knees and say, there will not be peace until that brother, until that sister come on. If you're listening in prison, understand this. Brother, you may have messed up. Sister, you may have messed up, but God still loves you. Come on back home. Mama is messing up the house saying, there will not be peace. So the brother is out looking on the horizon. And when he sees the sun, we thought in a male interpretation that he ran because he was happy that the sun was coming home. He was happy that peace was coming back to his house. He could sleep where he needed to sleep. You know what? Woo, he was happy. They didn't understand that because actually in the Hebraic understanding and when people are looking at it, they say this is the most radical thing because a father would not run to his son. In fact, it makes no sense. In the Hebraic, listener would say, that's not what a Jewish father would do. But the problem wasn't about trying to tell you what a Jewish father would do. The problem was telling you what the King of Kings will do. And the King of Kings, please don't clap. I want you to hear this very well, that your heaven ain't right until you get back in the kingdom. They missed you there. God misses you. He bore you. He created you. And until you get back where you are, he ain't happy. God saves you for himself. Yes, you get something out of it. But what he gets is the joy of knowing that which I have created has come home again. Do you not understand that God's joy is not dependent upon your action. His reaction is as soon as you say, yes, God, you really don't even have to change. You just have to press the wheel up. Y'all missed that. The Bible didn't say he got close to home. It says as soon as he saw him, he didn't wait for him to come to him. He got up and ran to him. Oh, you're not getting the message. So as soon as you decide, God, I want to serve you. As soon as you decide, God, I want to do something different. As soon as you decide, God, I don't want to be the way I used to be. As soon as you decide, God, I'm not going to be that anymore. He gets up from his throne and finds you and walks you there. No, you didn't get out of recovery because of yourself. No, you didn't put your marriage back together because of yourself. It's because you decided and he went. The process is in the hand of God. This morning, we don't ask you to change. Just decide to give it to God. So it was a weird moment that he ran and he got him because he was trying to say, Mama won't let me sleep until you got home. Boy, you better get on up in here. And the Bible says, the boy started talking crazy. Daddy, I ain't your child anymore. You better shut up, boy. You don't understand something. Even if I was mad at you, I got somebody here at home that won't let me stop loving you. Y'all miss that. I ain't saying that sin don't have consequences. I ain't saying that stupidity don't hurt. And Lord knows I ain't saying that you ought not have a few lashes. But all I'm saying is, your hurt will never be so important to God that your healing doesn't matter more. All I'm saying is that that's not a mad God. That's a loving God that will touch you wherever you are. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you've done with your body, your mind, or your spirit. God loves you and you are still his child. There is no way that home will let him stop loving you. And not only will he love you, the other thing that's weird is the fatted calf was used for religious organizations. This wasn't no just party calf. This was a special calf. This was a calf that's supposed to be for God. And you know, the rules say you don't use that calf for a party. You only need it for a sacrifice. Now, I want you to hear this very closely. But when mama is mad, you break the rules. The rules don't matter. In fact, you look at the rules and say, the only rule in this house is you home and I'm happy. That's rule one. Oh, y'all getting the message? Grace is breaking the rules. I know that you deserve to die. I know the rules say that it's a sin. I know the rules say that you shouldn't be there. But God will break the rules for you and party hardy just because you came home. Don't worry about it. God will break the rules for you. Mama, what if the house is filled with the presence of mama and daddy? What if the house is filled with a rule break? Oh, y'all looking at me. Let me make this even plainer. There are some things some brothers said in here I would never do, but you done it for her. Because peace is more important than your little rule. Because your love, she would look at you and say, I know what that's what we say. Oh, y'all, let me make this. There are money that you spent that you said you would never spend, but you spent it, didn't you? There are places that you say, I ain't never gonna go. But you went, didn't you? Because in the presence of the sister in the house, she's not worried about the rule. She's worried about the grace. About the relationship. Oh, you're not getting a message of mamas in the house. Then mothers, and you know you can always come back to the house. Yeah, you broke the rule. Oh, you're not getting a message. How can I make that thing? Because, you know, because I always said it this way. I said, you know what? I know one thing. My mama will discipline me. Because she went through 9 months of pregnancy. She bore me. She ain't going to kill me. Because it would just be a bad decision. But father, he ain't done nothing but just, you know, a couple of minutes. He can make another one like you real soon. It ain't much for him. That's why I went to mama. Because I knew there was a greater investment in me. That's why you ain't coming back to the Lord. You think, well, he makes all these people. He can't care about just me. Because if God is simply just like daddy, who can make another one anytime he want to, and who didn't put much into me, then but if he's like mama, I know he might hurt me, but he'll still love me. I know he might put me down, but he gonna still, because she's got too much invested in me. He made you in his image. He's invested in you a purpose and a destiny. And it doesn't matter how screwed up you get it. Excuse me, screwed up. It doesn't matter how messed up you get. It doesn't matter how much you've gone off the track. He's still got something invested in you. So don't worry. He'll take you back. He will be mad. There will be a season of anger. There may be a season of problematic reality. But in the end, mama gonna be mama. She's still gonna love you because she's got too much invested in you. And then understand the household. Now the parable should have ended there. But the problem is the folk and everybody who got more than one child, you know the problem. You do one for one, they accuse you of things. You like him more. You like it. Don't try to split up some food. You gave him more. You gave her more. Don't. And it doesn't even matter that they're different ages. It doesn't even matter that they're different gender. It doesn't even, it's just the fact that brothers and sisters. Oh, y'all getting the message. See, the other reason he didn't go back home because he thought his brother had more power than he did. Let me be very clear. These loud-mouthed, lying, gossiping folk up in the church, they ain't got no power. They can talk all day long. But God's got this, and I'll tell you right now, and the peace that God wants, he doesn't care. He will fix them, because you know what? That ain't your issue. Let me say that again. The folk, some of you don't come back because what they gonna say about you. Don't worry, that ain't your issue. God will handle them. God will take care of them. You just come on home, because in this house, there is a man, and in this house, there is a woman that'll take care of. No, if you will. Hold on. Because I want you to get this. I want you to get this. You stop trying to see everything God is doing. Let me say that. God's handling stuff that you don't know about. You getting discouraged because I don't see it. Guess what? You ain't supposed to see it. Did you notice? He handled the second child out of the hearing and seeing of the first child. Oh, mothers know this. Everybody, brothers and sisters, have you ever noticed that ever happened to you? Your brother, your sister was being a pain, and then the next time you saw them, they all straightened up. You like, I wonder what happened. Well, what happened was mama. Mama said, you better straighten up in here. You better be happy for your brother. You better be happy for your sister, or you ain't going to be happy for very long. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is handling this. How dare you let a few folk look at you wrong? Don't sit behind you. Throw off what they saying. Suck their teeth about you. And you upset. That ain't your issue. You just come home and I've got good news for you. God's got your back. He'll handle your stuff. It doesn't matter what you think and what other folk think. If they don't get removed, if they don't move, they'll get removed. Note, if you will, when the brothers say, that son of yours, and I want you to, the reason I stop and let you know that the story about you is never the truth. Y'all miss that. How come they lying on me? They just gonna lie. That's what they are. They liars. They don't know, so they gonna make stuff up. They don't know. They just heard something and they thought they'd throw something else in there. You notice what he said? He didn't say, your son that spent his in rioting and he got prostitutes too. There ain't nothing in the text that said that. Y'all missed that. That's why folk will lie on you in the church. They will say stuff about you that is not true. It had never been true and it couldn't have been true. But if you try to, you can't defend yourself against a big lie. God's got to do that. God's got to handle that. What you doing trying to throw your time, trying to worry about who say, I would volunteer, Pastor, but I got to work with them folk. Well, you know, the Bible didn't say work out their salvation. They said work out. I would, Pastor, want to do something. I would usher on the usher board. But when I walk down, I see everybody's eyes looking at me. Well, of course they do. Praise God. You big, you bad, you sitting down the aisle. They're going to look at you, but they can't do nothing to you. Amen? So he looks at him, and he says, you know, the problem with the folk, and I'm going to go after them right now. I'm going to help you out right now. I'm going to do what God does. I'm going to help you out right now. The problem with you is not that they were so bad, not that they were so messed up. It's because you've been living under what you shouldn't be. You wanted to do that stuff, and you didn't do it. That's your problem. Your problem is you wanted to do it, and you were so scared and because you believed that God was so mean that God wouldn't give you joy. So you've been mad, ugly, and mean for your entire Christian life because you didn't know the joy of the Lord was supposed to be your strength. That you ain't happy had nothing to do with their happiness. Be very clear. Your unhappiness is your issue. That's not my monkey, and that's not my circus, and I got nothing to do with that. I'm going to dance if I want to dance. I'm going to worship if I want to worship, because I realize that that's what my Father wants me to do. Now, you can join the dance, or you can sit back over there, but the truth is, I'm coming home to Mama. Stand to your feet. Pastor, he always says I preach too long, so I'm going to try to end right now, okay? If you want to mow, it's his. I don't know, no, to praise God. Because I got one more thing to say, but I'm going to cut this off right now. Because I want you to understand something. This whole sermon is trying to liberate your understanding of God. It's trying to remind you that the prodigal son wasn't to tell you that your father and him and God is the same, but it's to tell you that God is better than anything you've ever experienced, that God loves you, and God has more for you than any earthly father. Some of you had good fathers, but as good as they were, they're still not as good as God. Some of you had bad fathers. They ain't got nothing to do with God. They're not. You don't have to worry about, will somebody put you down? Will someone not accept you? Let me tell you something. God is still there. He is still there. He is calling you right now. So I want every head bowed and every heart lifted up to God. Hallelujah. You don't have to change. This morning, you just gotta decide. I'm coming home. Just crest the hill, and heaven itself will rejoice because they miss you. You weren't born to be unhappy, you weren't born to live beneath your destiny.
You weren't born to use your body like you're using it. You weren't born to be abused in your soul. You were born to be a child of the living God. And if I were you, I would come this morning, slip out into the aisle, and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Come home to mama. Come home to daddy. I know what they said about you ain't true. There's lies that have been spread about you. But God knows the truth. And he doesn't care. God's calling you this morning. Whatever has stopped you, when this choir sings, I want you to come. And I want every head bowed. And pray like you're a brother or sister that's happy. That's happy. The child is coming home. Hallelujah. And for those who are saved, the reason you've been hiding from God is because you're afraid of God. There's no reason to fear him. Trust him. He knows all about you. And he still loves you. Hallelujah.
As the choir continues to sing, we want to just invite you to contemplate what God is saying. Preachers preach out of the depth of his soul, and if you felt a yearning in your heart, look at God today. Come on, saints, let's give God a praise offering. Let's give God a praise offering. Come on home to mama. Right, bless you, dear.
Right. We will give you bread tonight.
Amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for our sister who has decided to come. And this is the time for you to come to Christ, number one, for a relationship. But some of you have already made that decision to trust Christ, but maybe you've not found a church home. And we want to let you know that this is a time for you to come and join God's church. But membership in a church doesn't save you. Relationship with God is what saves you. And so we want to invite someone to really give us your hand and give God your heart. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Christ. Come on, church. Listen, if you've already made that decision, you feel that you've already put your hands in God's unchanging hand, we invite you to go ahead and take your seat. But everyone who sits, I'm sure that there may be still someone who God is tugging on. And I want to invite you to really continue to pray about, is God talking to me this morning? Is God really calling me this morning? Is God really challenging me this morning? Is God really pulling me this morning? And if you know God is talking to you, I want you to come on up and step that first step of faith. Remember, the Father sees you coming from afar off, but you've got to come on down the aisle. You've got to come on down to Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anyone here? Anyone else?